Coming to you from the heart of the Diocese of Savannah, this is It's Catholic, Y'all, a series of conversations about faith and life. Views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of the Diocese of Savannah.
Welcome to It's Catholic, Y'all. My name is Braylon Snow. I'm the Assistant Director of Communications for the Diocese of Savannah. And I'm here with Betsy Orr, the founder of Purification Heritage Center here in Sharon, Georgia. So that's about, I'd say, two-thirds between Atlanta and Augusta. Is that right?
That's about right,
yes. Yeah, near Crawfordville?
Yes.
So we're here for Divine Mercy Weekend, which is also the grand opening of the Retreat Center.
That's right.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for being with us. We're delighted you're here.
For those who are unfamiliar, what's your mission and vision of this place?
Sure. First of all, it's both a project we've all been working on for a while, but it's also a place that you come to for rest and renewal and rejuvenation. And it's founded on this very unique site here in Georgia, the site of the oldest English Catholic settlement since Georgia achieved statehood. We have the oldest Catholic cemetery in the state, at the site of the oldest Catholic church and school in Georgia, and now we're building a new place of retreat on the 200 acres where the first Catholic congregation lived in Georgia. So it's a project that a team of people has been working on for a while, but it's a place that we've created for people to come to. And our vision statement is a sacred place to seek, find, and renew faith. So we hope those that come, both Catholic and non-Catholic, find this the perfect place to disconnect from their busy schedules and intrusive technology and really deepen their faith, gain some quiet time, some rest and renewal. So it's, like I say, it's a project, but it's also a place to come. You know, it's interesting. The church that was the church that's part of the heartbeat of this project is named the Church of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but it was canonically designated a heritage center. So the church that's part of our community is called Purification Heritage Center. So and that's what the name of our nonprofit is called. But we thought that was a mouthful and people had trouble remembering that. So in the spirit of Reynolds Lake Oconee, Biltmore, Magnolia, Serenby, we decided to go with one word, heritage, which is easier for people to remember than Purification Heritage Center. And it's really our umbrella brand for all that's taking place out here. And it's really, you know, taken off. People remember heritage. It's easy, it's short, and it really represents, Braylon, what we're trying to do. We're trying to build on the heritage of the past, the last 230 or 40 years of Catholics who've been here, but we're trying to create a heritage for the future as well. So that one word seemed to work well. So that's how we're starting to brand ourselves.
How long has the preparation process been going on?
That's a good question. Yes. So really it's been going on for 20 years because the Lord inspired me with an idea 20 years ago before I was even Catholic about a place of retreat where families and individuals could disconnect for sort of from this kind of busyness that has encaptured all of us and reconnect with each other and with the Lord. So the idea started circulating and percolating in my mind 20 years ago. But I purchased this 200-acre tract from the Archdiocese of Atlanta, which had originally belonged to Savannah, in 2016, and we began work on the project, the land and the retreat center. So it's been in process for about 7 years. It's been an idea for 20. It's been in process for 7. And here we are opening Divine Mercy Weekend. Now, I will tell on myself and say that a lot of times I realize things after the fact. So we opened Divine Mercy Sunday, and there are two really important things about Divine Mercy and the image. One is that there's an image, a distinct image that Jesus wanted painted. And then there's a very short message, Jesus, I trust in you. And back when I was teaching Bible study in Atlanta, a friend of mine who was a co-teacher and I started presenting artistic images for each of our Bible study lessons so that people would have something to meditate on visually as well as read in the scriptures. So we've become the era of image, haven't we? Image is so important. And so I started incorporating that into Bible study lessons, and we have incorporated that on the property. You'll see while you're here, we have lots of art. We have image with every scripture in all of our prayer stations. So that part of the Divine Mercy devotion has been important. And then the Jesus, I trust in you, this project has required a fiat from me to the Lord, sometimes every hour. Like, Lord, I'll do it if you send the right people. Lord, I don't know how to develop a piece of property. I don't know how to open a hotel, which is basically what we're doing. I've never worked in the hospitality business, but I'll do it if you'll send the right people. So the imagery of the divine mercy and the short but powerful Jesus, I trust in you, really represents a lot of my Catholic life. And so it didn't occur to me till afterwards when we set the opening for this weekend that, wow, this is a weekend that's very meaningful to me. And I didn't realize it till after the fact. So I'm telling on myself in that way. I wish I could tell you it was more divinely inspired, but it was divinely inspired. I just didn't realize it till after the fact.
I guess that's how you know it was, right?
Exactly. I didn't think of it. The Lord did. That's right.
That's great. So speaking of how you got involved, can you tell us more about your path to get here?
Sure. Yes. I was raised as a Protestant Christian in Atlanta from a very devout household. Really, my Christian faith has always been a part of my life. I've never particularly fallen away from the faith. And but about probably 15 or 16 years ago, I attended a silent retreat with a friend of mine in Atlanta. And it was, I thought it was just going to be a retreat of napping and rest right after Christmas, but it was really a mini version of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And it was being led by a Catholic priest, Father Paul Moreau, who's in Athens currently. And it was so enriching and so Christ-centered that my Protestant friend and I started wondering, gosh, what is the protest in Protestant all about? And 18 months later, we had read so many books and studied so much that we were received into the church. So that was the first step that had to happen. And in fact, Braylon, when I was in the conversion process, I was in my study one day, and I remember not hearing an audible voice, but having this very deep impression from the Holy Spirit, I cannot fulfill my purpose in you unless you become Catholic. So that was about midway through the conversion process, but I knew I was sort of done for at that point. So that had to happen to get me here. Actually, a series of other sort of strange things happened. Right after I became Catholic, my husband was diagnosed with a fatal brain tumor. And they told me he's going to live 10 months. And I begged the Lord to have him live as long as possible, if not be fully healed. And he lived about 3 years. So I became a single parent when my kids were going into high school. And a series of other family things happened. And all the while I was clinging to my Catholic faith, studying my Catholic faith, teaching Bible study at Christ the King in Atlanta. And I guess finally in the Lord's timing, the moment came where my kids were out of the house. I had the freedom and the resources to pursue this idea that he had planted in my mind way before that. And all of a sudden, this time opened up for me to do this. So a series of both personal things providentially happened to give me the opportunity to work on a project like this. And although I had been thinking about it for years and years and years, this was the time to get it done. So both in my personal life, my work life, friendships, being received into the church, all of that brought me to this point.
That's just God.
Well, you know, I always think back on this. It is God. And it's also the church. So being Catholic at the time that this happened, the suffering happened in our family, really helped me. I would have considered myself and did consider myself a very strong Christian. What I loved about being Catholic were the sacraments that I was able to receive on a regular basis. I loved the church's view on suffering and the redemptive nature of suffering. And I leaned heavy into that when Larry was both sick and after he died. So I sort of think being Catholic allowed me to thrive, not just survive that time period, but thrive. And then the Lord was so gracious to me to give me this project with him gone and my children out of the home and my parents are gone. Also, the Lord's been so good to me, giving me this big project to throw myself into related to my faith that he had time to prepare me for. So I'm the happiest, you may be, but I'll say I'm the happiest convert there is. Becoming Catholic is the best thing the Lord ever did for me. And he just continues to bless me through this work. And I would not have been able to navigate, I think, the suffering in my life as well as I tried to navigate it had I not had the church, tradition of the church, and the church's view on a lot of things to really uphold me through all of that.
What are some resources that people have available to them if they're here for a retreat?
When they come to Heritage and come to the property, there are a number of things that you can take advantage of without feeling like you're kind of overly scheduled and overly programmed. We've got these beautiful walking trails all over the property and probably four or five prayer spaces that are based on Catholic devotions, but very accessible to people who don't have a Catholic background. So you can get out and pray the Joyful Mysteries. You can go to our Seven Sorrows Walk. We have a prayer space called Resurrection Meadow, which is the Stations of the Resurrection. We have an encounter garden up here near the lodge. So out on the property, you have a lot of places to sit, to be in fellowship with people, to pray. We have a pond house where you can fish. The pond is stocked with fish. And then at Pine Lodge, which is the main building that all of these cottages surround, we've got a chapel and with a mosaic of the scene of the presentation of the Lord from Luke's gospel. We have a library filled with all my favorite conversion books. We've got beautiful courtyard outdoor seating. We have a screen porch where I'm going to visit with people who come on Fridays if they want to know more about the story and how this happened. And then the cottages themselves are appointed with kitchenettes, and you eat over at the lodge, your lunches and dinners, but breakfast is on your own. And we've tried to think of everything that you might need in a cottage as well as a common space like this in one of the cottages where we are. So what we're hoping is the resources and the meals and the prayer spaces that we're able to provide will allow you to park your car across the street and enjoy the weekend without ever having to go anywhere. And then we offer on Sunday a mass at the historic Church of the Purification on your way out, so to speak, so that people can attend mass at that church and get a feel for that building and that structure as well.
So cool. I mean, just we're kind of thinking through the history of our state.
Yes.
You know, to have that be the first, the oldest Catholic church in our whole state, that's pretty unique. It's pretty special.
It is. The actual oldest structure was a log cabin church, that was built in 1792. And it was torn down. And then a second church was built. And then we outgrew that. And then this third church was built. So the church where we offer mass is the third church they built because the congregation was so thriving that they kept outgrowing. So I like to say that that building is the third structure of the first Catholic congregation. But the very first Catholic church built that's recorded in all the history documents was a little log cabin that we think was called Most Holy Trinity. Nice. So there's quite a history out here.
Well, and it's something we share, our two dioceses.
Yes.
Predates time when we had two, Archdiocese of Atlanta, where we are now, and our Diocese of Savannah. So it really does, I feel like it really brings people together.
A significant chapter for Georgia Catholics because we have the Georgia Martyrs, which everyone in the Savannah Diocese are familiar with, and the beautiful artwork and statue down in Darien and the cause for canonization. And at that point, the Georgia coast was still part of Florida, but that's a significant part of Georgia history because now it's the Georgia coast, right? So then we've got this English Catholic settlement of people coming down in 1790 to establish this first congregation. So these two chapters of Georgia history are so important. And we belonged to Savannah for 100 years. Charleston Diocese prior to that, Baltimore Diocese prior to that, and now Archdiocese of Atlanta. So we even have a priest, Father Jeremiah O'Neill, buried in the oldest Catholic cemetery here, Locust Grove Cemetery. His portrait hangs at the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist. And on his tombstone, it says Diocese of Savannah, Presbyter, Diocese of Savannah. We have Flannery O'Connor's ancestors buried here. Of course, she's the child of Savannah, right? With her childhood home. So there are all these connections that I'm just delighted for people in the Diocese of Savannah to know more about because we belonged to the Diocese of Savannah the longest, and we still consider ourselves Georgia's parish, so to speak. We're here for the whole state.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on your website, that phrase.
Yes.
It's like the cradle.
The cradle of Catholicism. Okay. This is where it all started after Georgia achieved statehood.
You already have a pretty substantial lineup of speakers and retreats and events coming up.
Yes, you know, this is our opening weekend, as you mentioned. And just a month from now, my friend Scott Hahn is coming down to do a weekend, which is so exciting, getting him to Sharon, Georgia, to come. And we've got sold out cottages, but we also have a day option where people can sign up to come for the day and hear several of his talks. And he'll have his books for sale. And it will just be, whenever you listen to Dr. Hahn, in fact, the first time I heard him was at St. Mary's on the Hill in Augusta. And I felt like I had been strapped to a rocket ship that just took off. So whenever you have a chance to hear Dr. Hahn, especially in person, it's meaningful. So he's coming the weekend of May 3rd and 4th. Then some of your listeners may be familiar with Reform Wellness, which is led by Jackie Mulligan, and they are coming down in June to do a long weekend. They'll have some programming even on Sunday, which is all about reforming our health and our spirituality and everything around Christ, of course, is the center. Then we have an almost silent retreat in the summer being led by Father Paul Moreau, who received me into the church, who led that very first silent retreat that I attended. We've got Matthew Leonard, who has a ministry called Science of Sainthood. He's been responsible for lots of Bible studies in the Catholic world. He's coming to do a weekend. And then Augusta's favorite, Rachel Balducci, is coming.
Hey, Rachel.
Yes, she is becoming a friend of our effort, and she will do a program in October. The Family Room, a group from the Quest Atlanta, is coming. We have just a great lineup of speakers. And we even are trying to come up with a weekend for the Vatican astronomer to come and do a program. We have very dark skies here. And I'm hoping in early 2025, he and I have been in touch with each other, that he can come lead a retreat about faith and science and the beauty of that. So we're even working on the 2025 programming. But what I want you to know, Braylon, as well as the listeners and viewers, is we have lots of groups signing up with their own programming. In other words, we're sponsoring a number of things ourselves, but we have all kinds of groups coming, Catholic and non-Catholic, who are coming with their Bible study group or their leadership team at work or a group of women from a guild at a church. So a lot of what we do, in addition to what we sponsor, is host groups that come maybe with their own speaker, their own leader, and they want to use our facility. So I hope people will sign up for those kinds of things too.
And people just come and do nothing.
I mean, exactly. Pray. Yes. And, you know, we're almost operate like a hotel in that you could go onto our website and sign up for just a night to come. And sometimes that's a good way for people to experience us first. If they don't necessarily want to come for a retreat, they can come and spend the night and see what the cottages are like and see what the property is like. And then hopefully they'll have an idea. Oh, I should bring my Bible study group back over here. Oh, I should bring our finance council from our parish back up here. Oh, the chancery in Savannah should come do a staff retreat up here. You know what I'm saying? So yes, that's a great way to experience it. Just come and do nothing. Don't come to a retreat with programming. Come do nothing, which is what we all need to do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, priests can come up.
Right.
Like people just
Bishop
maybe
Parks
need to get
has
out
been
of
here. Oh, yes. Bishop Parks has been here. Bishop Boland has been here. Father Pablo, who's Fernanda, who you've worked with, brother, he's been here. We've had several Savannah priests here, and we've got room and space to encourage clergy to come on retreat. So that's, you know, I hope something that we regularly have signed up, clergy members who want to come out on retreat.
How can people support this ministry?
Number one is pray for the efforts. Not only our efforts, but pray for your involvement possibly with us. There may be people listening to this, people who come on retreat who think, gosh, I'd like to get more involved. You know, we need volunteers. We need prayer warriors. We need people. We don't have a formal ambassador program, but we need people who are willing to go back to their parishes and talk about us. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. Attending the retreats is huge. Coming and supporting the mission so that we can thrive and continue to be here. The third thing would be making a contribution to our nonprofit arm, because the nonprofit arm of what we're doing supports programming, supports clergy renewal, supports conservation, supports the upkeep of the historic properties. There are a lot of things that the nonprofit does. And if people make a contribution to that, of course, they get a tax write-off and they help us further the mission. What you're going to see while you're here, Braylon, is my fiat to the Lord for my part of what he called me to do. But we feel like he's calling us even further. We want to revitalize this whole district, and the nonprofit arm is really important to us. So making a donation would be very valuable as well. So praying, we call it pray, stay, and sometimes I laugh and say pay, but it's really pray, stay, and give. And those, we're trying to keep it very simple. If people would do those three things for us, this will be a ministry that will be able to provide a heritage for future generations.
How can they find you online? How can they get in touch?
To find us, you would go online to heritagega.org, Heritage Georgia, you know, heritagega.org. And there you'll find all kinds of information as well as a phone number. What I want people to know is God has seen this project through in a way that I never could have individually, nor could anyone else on the team individually. It's been a collaborative effort. Against all odds, quite frankly, this is a monumental project that's taken place in a town of 105 people in the smallest county in Georgia. It's a miracle that it's happened. And while we want people to come and visit, we also want people to realize I'm doing it because I want to evangelize, and I want people to have what the Lord gave me. By bringing me into the Catholic Church, he gave me this full richness of the Catholic faith. I know you feel that way as a convert also, and I want people to have that. So this property is designed to invite you, not in an intimidating way, to explore faith, to go deeper, to consider the church, and dive into the beauty of what Catholicism is, even for our non-Catholic guests. So historic preservation is a big part of what we've done, but evangelization is the most important part of what we're doing. And I hope that people will lean into that idea to help us further this mission and come themselves, but also bring others. I need people to go home after they've been here or after they've listened to this and tell other people about it, because word of mouth is the best way for our mission to advance. And so if people could help us with that, that would be terrific.
You were on Quest Atlanta.
Yes.
You did a podcast with them. And I remember hearing that it was ecumenical, or at least ecumenical friendly.
Yes.
But still very Catholic. Someone like me, never planned to be Catholic.
No.
Wouldn't have.
I don't think anybody ever does.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, we never would have gone necessarily to a Catholic retreat. Just kind of naturally God calls you in.
You know, there's that phrase, it's used in AA and it's used in the Catholic world too. We propose, mm-hmm. We don't impose. So what we're proposing, which you'll see while you're here, is a beautiful way to pray, a beautiful way to understand the scriptures and the mysteries of our faith, a beautiful artwork to look at, a tradition of 2,000 years of a lot of smart people thinking through the Christian faith. And we're trying to tap into that. I'm so excited. We have a group, one of my best friends in Atlanta is coming with her group from Peachtree Road Methodist Church next weekend. We've got all kinds of groups coming, but our mission statement says we created a welcoming Catholic environment that serves local and faith communities. And so that Catholic element is there, but it's designed to invite and not impose. And even the townspeople, and there aren't many Catholics here in Sharon, have appreciated what we've done. And we have their support, which has been extremely meaningful to us as we've done this. So I think you're exactly right, the balance we're trying to strike here. One piece of advice I would just share, not only related to our effort, but to my own personal story, is to not be scared to give the Lord your fiat. I mean, there are times that it can be scary, but by saying yes to whatever God calls you to do, he just blesses it so abundantly. And what I'm hoping is people who listen to this, who love what we're doing, who come here and visit and are blessed by this place, will give a fiat to get involved with us. But if it's not with us, whatever the Lord's calling me to, you know, giving that yes can be kind of scary. But I can now look back after 7 years of working on this project and think, wow, this is beyond anything I even imagined 20 years ago. So fiat seems to be my word lately, you know, that I've thought through a lot. And I just encourage everyone to think about that related to us, but think about it related to what God's doing in their lives.
This is a big year for pilgrimage with the National Eucharistic Congress.
Yes.
There's people coming to that.
I'm glad you said that. This is a place of pilgrimage already. Mm-hmm. And I could see us possibly being designated a shrine at some point in the future when we're a little bit more stable, have a little bit more people involved. There are only two churches named for Mary's purification in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. And the church here is very humble, and it's we've really leaned into that story of her purification and the presentation of the Lord listed in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there just aren't a lot of other churches named in that way or leaning into that. And so already, as Archbishop Hartmeyer likes to say, who used to be the Savannah mm-hmm. bishop, this already is a place of pilgrimage. One day that might be formalized, but we've got this unique site where Catholicism first began after Georgia achieved statehood. So people almost have a sense, you know, that they want to be pilgrims here. There's something historic here that's a little different than other locations of other places of retreat. So I hope the pilgrimage idea takes off. We've already had a number of people out here on pilgrimage, and I hope one day it's formalized into perhaps a shrine or something of major historic value.
Betsy, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
I want to encourage people from our diocese to join the party, so to speak.
Yes.
Quiet, calm party.
That's right.
but just to be part of this Georgia church, thank you so much for your faithfulness in this mission.
You are welcome. Thank you for being here, and I hope you have a wonderful personal retreat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of It's Catholic, Y'all. Visit us at diosav.org or on our Diosav social media platforms for more.